Title of today's message is Like Jesus. Like Jesus. Now, is that your desire? To be like Jesus? You know, I love what this friend of mine said years ago. He said, you know, we had those bracelets, those What Would Jesus Do bracelets. WWJD. You're actually, theologically, there's a problem with that. It's not what would Jesus do. No, it's what is Jesus going to do, not if he were here, since he is here. Because he is here. What does he want to do? He's got a purpose. We're going to look at these a couple of times in these verses today. We're going to read the first six verses, chapter 4. He used the word purpose. But let's read the verses today. This is from the New Living Translation. So then Christ suffered physical pain. You must arm yourselves with the same attitude that he had and be ready to suffer too. Stop right there. We just lost the whole Western church. Right there. The whole Western church just checked out. Because we know nothing of this. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are experiencing suffering because of their stand for Christ. We continue. For, if you're willing to suffer for Christ, you've decided to stop sinning. We'll get to that in a minute. That's going to be fun. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. Boy, anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy. Let me ask you, have you had enough of it? Have you? Have you had enough of it? Does it just make you, sick? Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. No, we don't worship idols in the United States, do we? Do we? The imagery and the symbolism is not lost on the fact that Muslim fundamentalists decided to attack where? The Twin Tower. That struck right at one of our idols. Which is what? Money. Of course, your former friends are very surprised when you no longer join them. Former friends. Any of y'all have any former friends? Now, let me ask you this, just for my information today. When you came to Christ, so many of you that came to Christ as adults, how many of you came to Christ as an adult? Ooh, boy, that's half of them. That's unreal. You know, statistically, that's not, they go way down. You know, prime time is when you're a child and the statistics go down from there, or the possibility. Well, many of you thought, well, you know, I'll just keep my old friends. I'll share Jesus with them, right? That's what you thought. They'll be happy. They'll be joyous. They'll want to hear the good news of what I've experienced, right? Right? Wrong. That didn't how it worked out, was it? Because some of them immediately became a former friend. Just like that, didn't they? You say, what did I do? Did I not wear deodorant? Did Did I not pick up the tab when I was supposed to? Was I rude to them at my house? Did something happen? Yo, something happened. Something happened on the inside of you. And not because of what you did to them, but because of what Christ did in you. They didn't want to have any more to do with you. They cut you off. How many of you had that experience? You betcha. You betcha. Now, does that mean you say, oh, well, it serves you right, and let me grease the slide for you to go to hell? No. What if Jesus had that attitude? I'm sorry if I'm frank about this, but I know that's what you're thinking. You say it, spit it out. No, you continue to love them. I never will forget this. I'm going to get so sidetracked today. This passage just is eating me up today. But remember this fella. He's one of the first guys that we baptized that came to know Christ. And he was on fire for the Lord when we first moved here to plant the church. He was on fire for Jesus. He went back to his place of business. A lot of salesmen there. And he said, man, and I remember him telling me about, man, he said, I know these guys are just going to be so excited. They want to hear about Jesus. He said, I know they have the same needs in their life I did, and I can just picture it. What it's going to, I remember him describing all this to me. About 2 weeks later, he calls me up. He said, Brother Dusty, can I talk to you? I said, well, sure. He said, we're in person. I said, yeah, man. Come on by. He said, you know what? When I started telling them about Jesus, some of them didn't want to hear it. In fact, one of them told me to shut up. And several are avoiding me. I said, really? He said, I just can't believe it that they wouldn't want to hear about Jesus. I said, well, let's take a little trip down memory lane with you. How long did it take you? How old are you? He said, I'm 35. He said, remember in your testimony you told me that somebody came and shared the gospel with you when you were in your early 20s? Well, let's do the math here. Early 20s, 35, we're probably talking about a dozen years. Why did it take you so long? And aren't you glad they didn't give up on you? You got it? Okay. Former friend. They're very surprised when you no longer join in them in the wicked things they do. They say evil things about you. Right? Make up things. You know, it doesn't have to be the truth. You can just make it up, or like in our news media, just tell it enough times in enough news cycles, and suddenly it becomes the truth. But just remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That's why the good news was preached even to those who have died. So though their bodies were punished with death, they could still live in the Spirit, as God does. Wow. What a passage. Now I've got 6 questions I want to ask you. Let's go to the first one. Now the first verse there, what's wrong with suffering? And remember the title of this message is today, Like Jesus. What's wrong with suffering? Did Jesus suffer? Yes, He did. He suffered and died in our place. He suffered in His life as He lived out the perfect life. Did those who followed Him suffer? Are people who follow Him today in the world suffering? Several of you sent me the article. I believe it's in San Diego. Where's Jay? Is it in San Diego? where they've enacted the city ordinance to try to stop. They've stopped this pastor from having meetings at his house because there are more than 15 people there. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? We're in America. That's supposed to happen, is it? Oh, they'll make up all sorts of things about why it is. But I guarantee you, you know, the Amway and the Pampered Chef and the family reunions and all the, hey, look, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That means you got to shut down all of those. That means you can't have more than 15 people at your house, at your home at a time. If you have a group like that. Can you believe it? No, what they did was they reached in and they picked out a group and decided to discriminate. Now, I tell you that not to discuss whether or not we can go back to the 1984 federal equal access legislation and say that you can't discriminate based on religion or any other thing and back and forth. By the way, that is why we can meet in the school today. Because they can't discriminate. If you rent to one, you rent to all. Either rent to all or you rent to none in a school. That's how it works. But it's not to debate that. It's to say there are people out there in this country that want to shut you down. They don't want you to meet anytime and anywhere. Now wrap your mind around that. Suffering. Let's talk to our Chinese brethren. How about our North Korean brethren and sisters? How about our French brethren? Right now, you say, "Oh, that's France. That's Western Europe. You have all sorts of freedoms there." No, you don't. It's becoming more and more oppressive there for the gospel. And is this anything new? Is it anything new? No, it's not. Ever since Jesus came, there have been groups of Christians that have suffered for what they believe. Suffered because they belong to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about suffering for being stupid. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about suffering for being an idiot. You know, any of those things. I'm talking about suffering because you belong to Jesus. The way people see you in the world. Now, is that becoming more or less in the world right now? Well, right now it's on the rise. So, what's wrong with suffering? The Western church has got to begin to wrap its mind and heart around the reality of suffering. Because he suffered physical pain. You must arm yourself with the same attitude. And get ready. Now, what I'm talking, and please do not get these mixed up. You know, that guy that was out there on the San Fernando Highway in California, you know, at rush hour, 70 miles an hour speed limit, and, you know, six lanes of traffic across, and he's got a honk if you love Jesus sticker on the back of his car, and he's going 35 miles an hour. And he calls his wife and said, "Man, there are a lot of people that love Jesus on this highway. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about suffering because you belong to Jesus. Are you willing to pay that price? And see, for if you're willing to suffer for Christ, that means you decide to stop sinning. Do you see this here? If you're laying your life before Him and saying, and you're broken bread and poured out wine before Him, just like Jesus was and is for us, then it's kind of hard to be thinking about yourself in the middle of that if you're laying yourself at the altar. And the ultimate definition of sin, it means I've put me in God's place on the throne of my life. I've traded those. Do you see that difference? Do you see how he'd make this point? They're mutually exclusive because you've decided that Jesus is Lord, not you. All right, secondly, next question. What are the results of suffering? What are the results of suffering? That verse again. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. The results of suffering in a person's life. Here are the positive results. You're not going to be chasing after things that don't matter in your life, are you? You know what's real and what's false because you're putting your life on the line. Evil desires are not a part of... You put those aside. And then you become anxious to do His will. Anxious to serve Him. I know I go back to this again and again because I'm just fascinated with the Chinese church. I'm just fascinated with it. To see these guys and gals who would willingly volunteer. They know what it's like if they're going to serve Jesus and preach the gospel and lead others in that. They know what the cost is, but they are anxious to do the will of God. It doesn't mean they have a death wish on their lives. No. They're trying to survive. They want to stay alive as long as possible because of what? So they can share the gospel with more people. Do you see it? Are you catching this? So these are the positive results. And notice, I didn't give you any of the negative results of suffering. You can figure that out on your own, can't you? All right, third question. Then, we go to verse 3. Where has God brought you from? You've had enough of the past evil things and godless people in your life and those godless desires. And let me read it to you from the New American Standard. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, of lust, of drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. He's saying, God saved you from all that. I was talking to somebody this week. The subject of smoking grass came up. Now, I'm not gonna give any names or anything here today. But I started thinking about... I'm 54 years old. I've got friends that are still have been smoking grass since they were in high school. And do you know what their brain looks like today? Hmm? You know what their life looks like today? I've got friends today that started drinking alcohol and getting drunk when they were teenagers. And they're still doing it. Drunkenness in their lives. Do you know what their lives look like today? Now fill in the blank or whatever thing you want to fill in there. But I thought about that today, you know, as I was reading this passage and thinking, well, what has God delivered us from? The old life and then the new life. I look at some of these people, and Lord knows I got a lot of mileage on me and show it at times. But I look at them and they look like warmed over death. Thanks be to God that He delivers us. Have you had enough of it and said, I'm sickened by it. I don't want a dog going back to his vomit. As we can get very graphic here today. From where has God brought you? One other question. If you hadn't come to Jesus, would you even still be alive today? I know there are a dozen of you at least in here because I've talked to that many of you about this very subject. And you've told me, if I hadn't come to Jesus, I would be dead as a hammer today. Because I know where my choices were leading me. Are you following me? Next question. Verse 4, fourth question. How's God changed your life? Of course, your former friends are very surprised when you no longer join them in the wicked things they do. They say evil things about you. Well, let me ask you this. Is your life better with Jesus? Is it? Really? Let me ask it again. Is your life better with Jesus? How much better? This much? Have you got to get the slide rule out, you know, calculate this much? Or like we used to teach our kids when they were young, said, how much do you love me? I love you all the money in the world. Is that how much Jesus has changed? That He's done in your life? Has He brought you? See, here's the thing. Has He brought you from death unto life? Where, when you look at death, they can't threaten you. Is death a threat to you? Traditionally, that has been the threat that evil regimes and those who seek to stamp out Christians, they could threaten them with death and say, we're going to kill you. Okay? Then what? Let me tell you what happens to me when I die. As soon as you kill me, I immediately go where? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Immediately. Now let me ask you that are about to kill me. If God decides to have a well-placed lightning bolt right where you're standing, where are you going to be in the next minute? Where are you going to be? Do you know? Have you put all your eggs in this basket of this life and what you can manipulate into existence by your own self-will? You think, oh, I've pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I've built this great kingdom. I really wonder sometimes what Kim Jong-il and Ahmadinejad and then a guy right around the corner think is going to happen just like that. Do they really know? Your former friends are very surprised when you no longer join them. Number 5. How's God see the big picture? But just remember, they'll have to face God, who judge everyone, both the living and the dead. You see? Everyone's going to have to stand before Him, the living and the dead. Several ways you can interpret it. One, you could say, the living, those who are alive when Jesus comes back, they're going to have to face Him, and all the dead that have gone before. Some have thought that death is an escape from the judgment of God. Some have thought, if I can just get out of this life, I can escape having to face the things that really matter in this life. How many songs in pop culture, in particularly some of the songs, go back a few years, some of the rock and roll stars. I remember reading the journal of a young man who was 15 years old who had been listening to a particular artist who spoke nothing. He thought of, oh, death is a great release. I'm just going to be released from all of this. And he wrote of that in his journal. I remember when his grandmother brought that to me and said, here, read this. After he had taken his own life, this is what he thought about things. No. There's no escape. The only salvation for us is through Jesus. He judges both the living and the dead. He is Lord over life and Lord over death. Do you hear me? All right, finally. What is His purpose? That's why the good news was preached to even those who have died. So that although their bodies were punished with death, they could still live in the Spirit as God does. Aren't you glad that the good news was preached to those that went before us who received Jesus in their lives? Think about some people right now that were an influence in your life who knew Jesus, who have now gone on to be with Him. Death did not end their relationship with Jesus. Did it? Now, they had to go through death. They had to go through that. But they're only going to die once. They're born twice and die once. What's the other choice? Born once and die twice. Are you following me here? The Christian, the person who belongs to Jesus, was born physically and then is born again. He only dies once. And some of us aren't going to do that because Jesus is going to come back. Take us. But those who don't know Jesus, they're born once, and they get to die twice, physically and spiritually. In fact, what John says in the third chapter of his gospel is not that they're going to die, they're already dead. And that's the wonderful thing of the good news. What is His purpose? His purpose is that all of us will come to Him and receive Him. And it will be good news to the entire world. You see, harking back to that last chapter, that's what He went and proclaimed when He went back and proclaimed to those spirits, those angels that were in prison, those disobedient angels. He was proclaiming the gospel. He said, see here, I follow through on what I promised. Every detail. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And we have life because of Him. And that is good news. Listen to me today. Listen to me. Jesus is not out to see us harmed. It breaks His heart when people are away from Him. It breaks His heart when people do not receive Him in their life. He is in agony over that. Look at Him in the garden. The Scripture says that He sweat drops of blood. There He was as the weight of the entire world, the sin of the world, was coming upon Him. And He went to the cross. And He died in our place. He was in agony for us. He felt the sting of all the sin of all time upon Himself. I can't imagine. I can't imagine that. But He did that for us, and He loved us enough that He took our place so that we would not have to die a second time. We could have Him forever. And He invites us. And what does He always lead with? His love. Always. And He's drawing, wooing to Himself. And even when we've pushed Him off and we said, I don't want anything from You, and even the times we've shaken our fist to heaven, and we've done, and we deserve lightning bolts, and we deserve to be burnt down right there but thank God we don't get what we deserve. Can you witness with me on that? Mercy and grace and love. He's come to us, and He was there waiting. Just like in the story of the prodigal son. The dad was looking out the window and he saw him from afar. He's looking out for us. And He welcomes us when we come home to Him. That's the people in your life. That's why you can't stop praying for them. That's why you can't stop being the church. That's why you can't stop being like Jesus. Because Jesus' answer wasn't burn them down. His answer was, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to Me. Isn't it great? Let's bow. Lord, I stand amazed in Your presence this morning. I bless You for the gospel, the good news. Thank You for the day that You came to me. And in Your sovereignty in the past, Lord, You had already decided You were coming to me. And I thank You, Lord, that You were patient and that You received me. And Lord, I pray that prayer of thanksgiving for every one of us here that has received You into his life. But Lord, right now, I pray for anyone here who has never made that commitment to You, Jesus, that this would be the day. This would be the day when they receive You and ask You to come into their lives and make them a new person. Let You change your life. Lord, we don't have to have all the answers. We just have to have You. And we bless You for that. God, I'm praying today for believers, for Christians, to start living in the power of the Holy Spirit. empowered to share the gospel with a world that is lost and without Jesus. I'm asking you to do that. Empower us today, Jesus. Lord, as we open this altar today, we ask for your power, your spirit to come. Lord, for those who need physical healing, that today would be the day for that. For those who need deliverance in their lives, of things in their life from the past, God, that you'll cut them off today. That you'll cut off the power of sin, Satan, and death. The power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm asking you to do that now. In the name and in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Yeshua, our Messiah. We bless you. The altar is open. Pastors, life group leaders, if you would, take your places.